was great to get together with Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, of course, a spokeswoman for the National Police Association, and our go-to when we talk about law and order and defending our great, great law enforcement officers around this country that are under siege. How you doing, Sergeant Brantner Smith? Good to talk with you.
Hey, it's so great to be back.
We have several things to talk about because there's been a lot of things around the nation as well that really sort of mirror what's going on in our community. And probably every interview you do could start like that, because what we see in one community to one degree or another seems to be reflected in most of America whenever there's any kind of population density. And so why don't we start with what's going on in Seattle, where we're seeing some of the big cities beginning to have second thoughts about the whole defund the police movement. That has to be music to your ears.
Well, it absolutely is. The problem is when you look at Seattle, you know, they were, again, one of the first to really take a chunk out of their police budget. And Seattle is known for its leftist attitudes, if you will, by city leaders and their hatred of the police long before the George Floyd situation. But now what's happening in Seattle is the mayor there is saying, whoa, we need more cops. And yet the cops are saying, well, you know what? For about the last 4 or 5 years, you have done nothing but vilify us and call us names and call us racist and all these things. And then post George Floyd, if you remember, during the riots, those police officers were forced to give up their own police station, one of the main ones, to the protesters, and that turned into the CHOP CHAZ autonomous zone. And now the city of Seattle just paid out over $3 million to a bunch of the business owners there to make up for all the crimes that happened to them when the police couldn't get there. So it's quite a disaster in Seattle, but I hope to see it turn around.
Yeah, and I mean, across the country, I mean, Austin, in Baltimore and others, I mean, we've saw a double digit in violent crimes. And I mean, that affects people so viscerally, I mean, literally sometimes, sadly. And I'm glad to see that happening. Now, I don't think we've talked since the incident in Memphis, but I want to just speculate and see if you tie these things together. But so it was reported, and I guess the people, the members of the National Police Association, what are they telling you in terms of, you know, while police officers were under siege and departments, you know, were being defunded, and it seemed to me like there was a flight from, you know, that career in some cases. We saw it in New York. Does that lead to a lowering of the standards to just keep a warm body in the squad car with a sidearm? And that leads to the kind of what appears to be absolute, abuse of the position in Memphis. Of course, the trial needs to occur. But, you know, still, I think most people would agree that was egregious behavior. Is there a connection there?
Well, it absolutely is. And understand that standards for hiring depends on each individual police department. So some police departments have not lowered their standards, but a lot have. The Memphis Police Department indeed lowered their standards. And two of those five police officers that have been indicted for the death of Tyre Nichols were hired under much lowered standards. Look, what you saw in Memphis is not police culture. I've been a police trainer for, you know, well over 20 years. Nobody taught those cops to do that. And they are, and I want to remind everybody, they're ex-cops. Nobody trains to treat a human being that way of any kind. Those men should have never been police officers. Now they're accused criminals. And yes, from everything I've seen, I hope that they are found guilty. But around the country, that what you saw in Memphis is not happening. What you're seeing instead are police officers incredibly shorthanded, working long hours, getting their days off canceled, still trying to do their job. And yes, some of the departments are getting refunded, but the problem is we are 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind the eight ball as far as bringing crime back under control. And an important thing for everyone to remember is that just because the police arrest somebody doesn't mean that person gets convicted or goes to jail. We still have this issue of woke prosecutors who won't do their job, like Kim Fox in Chicago, like George Gascon in L.A., like Alvin Bragg in New York, and of course, like Kim Gardner in St. Louis County, Missouri. But the AG there is going to do something about that.
Oh, yeah. The AG, Andrew Bailey, is all over that. And of course, you may have heard that the legislature did it's equivalent to a resolution where they basically said she needs to go. And even the mayor, Tashara Jones, has weighed in on that. And that takes a lot when you have a progressive mayor calling out a circuit attorney. So I'm glad that voices like yours, I think the conservative talk world in general, and probably most Americans, not just right, but probably center right, and maybe even some on the left, are saying enough is enough. We need protection. We need the whole system to work, from the arrest to the prosecution and then the jailing. And that's what I wanted to talk with you about, was this Florida shooter in Orlando, the guy that took out this little 9-year-old girl and the journalist. This guy had priors, and we see this in our community here. It seems to be just a constant thing where these guys are getting out of jail for serious crimes, and then they do worse. Do we need more jails, Betsy Brantner Smith?
Well, we do have in some areas a jail overcrowding issue, but I just read a statistic the other day that since the lockdown, the COVID-19 lockdown, we have reduced jail population in this country overall by nearly a third. And here's the thing. We're not just, and we didn't do this during the pandemic. We weren't just releasing old prisoners at risk for dying of COVID-19, over 65, obese, high blood pressure, all that stuff. We have been letting out young criminals, just like you saw in Florida. And we let them out again and again and again to reoffend. The problem is we are not even keeping them in jail, even though they have had many, many, many opportunities to be on probation while they await trial. And when they reoffend, we just let them out again. And it's getting people hurt. It's getting people killed.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a larger problem than just, crime and punishment. I mean, there are social issues, substance abuse issues, and it just seems like there's a revolving door for these criminals. It's just awful. Now, all that said, I'm glad to see some stories that are making me optimistic that the decision makers are getting the word that you better support the police. I'm talking policymakers at various levels, or else you're not going to have any. It's going to be anarchy. And so I read about this exciting bill in Indiana, where a state rep has filed a bill creating basically a zone of basically a no encroachment zone around an officer that's trying to engage in their duties. Is that a good idea? Is it a bad idea? What do you know about it, and what do you think about it?
Well, I've read the proposed bill, and I understand the purpose of it, and I like it. I'm not a big person who wants a lot of government encroachment, but the problem is, in the last couple of years, especially, everybody has a camera now. So what we have had is people walking up to police officers on crime scenes, on traffic stops, when they are trying to pay attention to what they're doing. One of the most dangerous things you can do as a police officer is a traffic stop. I've done hundreds and hundreds of them. And people will walk right up to the officer, get in their face, and there has been in the past very little we can charge people with. So what they're trying to do in Indiana is kind of create this safe zone so that when someone violates that, walks into my traffic stop, for example, endangers me, endangers the motorist I'm talking to, and endangers themselves, we will have something more that we can charge them with. And that will help keep those police officers safe. It's become vogue in some areas to attack law enforcement, and we've got to stop, because 60,000 cops every year get assaulted. And I think in Indiana, if this law catches on, we'll see a reduction in those officers assaulted.
Is that kind of an attitude of disrespect towards officers, and in some cases downright? I mean, you know, officers are regularly ambushed these days since Ferguson. But I mean, I just don't remember growing up hearing about this kind of prevalence of that kind of disrespect. You know, I always remember the old Broadway shows where you had the cop on the beat, the old Irish cop swinging his billy club, and, you know, in the community, and everyone knew him, and, you know, he'd kid with the kids, and they would, you know, they'd kid with them. That's the kind of respect I was taught, and everyone I knew was taught for police officers. Yet that just seems to have gone by the wayside. Is that a recent thing, or is it just being reported more often?
It's a very recent thing. I would say since 2014, but most especially since 2020. And then that also ramped up during the pandemic. And you know what you and I were taught also? You don't punch out your teacher. And we're seeing that same thing, that level of disrespect for other mm-hmm. public figures like educators. And it's just a lack of civil order in our society now, a lack of respect for life, for the property, and really the body of another person. And that is, I believe, tantamount to the violent crime problem that we have in this country. We have got to go in this country. We have got to go back to respecting each other, each other's physicality, each other's property as well. And, you know, but the thing is, when you talk about attacks on law enforcement, you're absolutely right. Officer ambushes are skyrocketing. The problem is people are being told by activists, by the media, by educators in school that the police are bad and that you can, they're going to attack you. So you may as well attack them first. I have talked to young people of color who have told me that that's what they were taught very recently in school, that you better attack the cop first because otherwise they're going to attack and kill you. It's absurd and it's horrific.
Something's got to give at some point. Finally, before we let you go, everyone loves when they're around, a police officer with a dog, right? Because everyone loves a dog, and they're very helpful tools in solving crimes and various things. Now in California, crazy California, they're trying to take a tool out of law enforcement's hand, and they're making it a racial issue. A bill's been filed, I understand, to take away the canine crew from the officers in California. Is this just basically a bright, shiny object for some legislator that's up for reelection? Or do they really mean this?
Well, the legislators that wrote this bill, they really mean it. You know, existing law in California authorizes the police to use a reasonable force to effect an arrest. And a canine is very often part of that reasonable use of force. You know, I used to run my department's canine unit, and we have multi-purpose patrol dogs where they can track a lost child or find an older person who has wandered away from a nursing home. But they can also run down an armed robber. They can search a building and find a burglar. They can protect the handler who gets attacked on a traffic stop and backup is nowhere to be found. But this law in California, and I really encourage everybody to go read it, because in section one they talk about the police dogs are a mainstay of constant dehumanization, cruel abuse of Black Americans and people of color. It's ridiculous. And what they want to do in California is just take one more less lethal tool away from law enforcement officers. And we're going to end up with nothing but, a straight stick baton and a firearm. And frankly, that's going to make people less safe, not more safe. And you know what? By the way, dogs are colorblind.
That's right. I was just going to ask you that. I was thinking, if I was a legislator on the other side of the aisle on that one, I'd say, what evidence do you have that for a given, let's say, you know, roughing up a cop during an arrest or running for a given melanin composition, can you show me differential treatment by the dogs? I didn't know dogs are colorblind. Well, now I just learned something.
Yeah, they are.
That's why we ask you to come on and straighten these things out, because if we listen to the legislators and the woke progressive left, you know, you'd think that the world was coming apart because of those evil law enforcement officers. Glad you're there to straighten us out. And again, we hope that folks will, in our area, keep an eye on things and, you know, make sure that you reference these other crazy things going on when you lobby your legislators and local government officials. Sergeant Betsy Brander-Smith with the National Police Officers Association at nationalpolice.org. We thank you and treasure our visits. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.